Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be doing our first crossover, Bitch Sesh and Everything Iconic crossover.
It's an iconic bitch sesh.
Or I was thinking bitchy and iconic.
A bitch icon. I don't know.
Bitch icon. Yeah. Or an iconic bitch.
Bitch, everything's iconic.
Guys.
Even though you don't have an S on it.
And what a week, too, because there's so much going on in the world of Bravo.
Perfect week.
Yeah, we have four shows to keep us moving. It almost is like we're not even seeing the outside world. We're not seeing this terrible pandemic we're living through. We're just living in a Bravo world, and I'm happy for that.
Honestly, thank God for Bravo right now. I don't know how I would be doing all of this. How are you guys holding up with all of this craziness?
You know, first I'll say we're healthy. And I think that's important. We're healthy and we're safe.
And so that is the first lucky thing. You know, things are happening. Things are falling away. Identities are being stripped. You know, I had to call poison control because I found my son just rooting around in my husband's Pepcid.
No.
No. What happened?
No, I don't know. No one was watching him. Just the children are running like feral. But,
amok.
You know, doing our best over here. How are you guys?
I'm just... my anger and frustration and fear are coming out in strange ways. Like, I did this what I thought was an amazing thing was I ordered from, like, this amazing LA restaurant called John and Vinny's, where I was like, I'm going to order us, not like a meal, but like food to cook. And so they have this, like, one of my favorite things is their bolognese sauce. It's called like a 15-hour bolognese. Like, it's like stewed over by like an Italian grandmother for like 15 hours straight. It's like this amazing.
Really long. A long bolognese.
Yes, a long bolognese. That's how serious it is. And I was like, this is going to be amazing.
I like that you're calling it a bolognese.
What is it called? Bolognese? I don't know what it's called.
A bolognese.
I don't know what it is, but it's important. And so I serve it to my family, my daughter, my husband, and neither of them enjoyed it. And I have never gotten angrier in my life. I did not cook this, but the fact that they did not like it as much as me came out so sideways for me where I was like, how can you not? I had to leave the table. I could not sit with them or look at them in their faces.
Did you do a Teresa, like a prostitution whore, and then throw them?
I mean,
that's what I'm picturing in my head.
My daughter, my 6-year-old, is a prostitution whore by far, but no, I just had to leave the table. I was so angry. Yeah. And I look back at it now, like, why? Who cares if they like the sauce? Like, they don't have to fucking eat it. They can feed themselves. But, like, I took it so personally that something else was going on.
Well, you can't control the emotions right now, though. I'm feeling the same way. I just started doing, like, those Peloton workouts. Like, I got the app. They're doing a free trial. And I literally, like, cry in the middle of the workouts. Like, it's just like I'm happy tears, like, looking at the class on the app. And then I'm, like, sad tears thinking about how I'm never going to class and whatever. It's just, like, all coming out at weird times, though. But it's just I'm noticing I'm, like, looking at my reflection in the Peloton app and being, like, why am I so welled
up? When did my reflection show who I am inside? I'm obsessed with Cody Rigsby. That's over there. He's a great
Oh, my God. Instructor. I'm obsessed with Cody
Rigsby. He's obsessed.
Wait. Who? Oh, this is Peloton. I'm like, who is Cody
Rigsby?
Yeah, I'm
like, how can I get to Cody? I think it'll happen one day just organically. Like, I feel that we have a connection at some point. I don't know how to get there, but I'm hoping one day we will.
Does he know you? Does he say, like, hey, Casey, I'm talking to you?
No,
that's not how it works. It's like a video that you're watching.
Yeah,
I'm watching
a video, so they can't see me, but... What they people can see is that if there's like 20,000 people in the class, I am always ranked like 19,004. It's really
upsetting. I would never want to see my ranking.
People who are in their 70s, there's like...
It says
and he'll shout out the people at the top of the list. So if they're at like the top, he'll shout them up. But what I love about him is that like he'll be talking about the workout and he'll be like, okay, raise your resistance to 30 or whatever. And then he'll tell a story about like his life in college or something. He'll be like, yeah, I fucked a girl in college. Now get out of your seats. And then I'll just like,
he'll be like, get your wigs on straight. You're a mess. Pull your life together. He's the best ever. And he's
just shouts slay.
I'm very attracted to him as well.
I'm attracted to one of my yoga guys, a man named Melvin who works at Core Power. And it is not live, so he's just not... He could have filmed this 15 years ago. He could be dead. Not dead, but you know, he could be... Have yeah, passed
you could be
from
no longer with
natural
him.
Circumstances. Nothing recently. But, like, I don't know what's going on with Melvin, but I'm very attracted to his body and spirit.
You know, we're all cooped up. We're all horny.
Yep.
I also got to say off the top, Casey, thank God for Black Monday, because I just finished binging it last night. I'm a little upset because I'm, like, caught up now. But season two was fantastic. Like, I loved it so much. The fact that we get you and Regina Hall in 80s clothing, like, just acting the shit out of that show, it's just the best. It's the best TV.
You're so nice to say that. And I, you know, I did a plug for it last week, and I hope people don't think I put you up to this, and I appreciate it so much.
No, I demand it. I demand it to talk about Black Monday, because I truly, like, my boyfriend and I are both obsessed with it. I honestly think, like, you're amazing in it, and Regina Hall is giving, like, an Emmy-worthy performance.
I know. And Dawn was nominated for an Emmy for it last year. It's just people aren't finding it. There's just so much TV. And I really, but people are starting their articles of like the show you're not watching that you should be. So I think we're headed in the right direction.
We're on our way.
I think so. Because it's so good. And
it's
so
good. It's so funny.
It's just hysterical. And Andrew Rannells too, like just watching all of you guys play off of each other. And I really think season two, I loved season one, but this season just feels like it's like a next level kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it like knows what it is.
Interesting, I did not write on the second season.
Were you writing on season one, Danielle?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the shift.
So that's the shift I think you're feeling, that you're enjoying. I could not write.
No, but season one was great too. Everyone should binge the whole thing.
Yeah.
Danny... Thank you for saying that. You're so sweet. And I mean, should we get into what just occurred?
Yeah.
What just happened yesterday?
You guys, that Beverly Hills premiere, it was wild. The last couple of minutes, of course, it was some of the best television I've ever seen on Bravo. The editing of the last, 2 minutes?
Maybe even less. Flawless. It might have been 30 seconds. Like, not enough, for sure. It was true, but it was powerful. It's like, remember when Judi Dench won an Oscar for, like, an 8-minute performance in Elizabeth, or was it? No, Shakespeare in Love, one of those.
Yeah.
And they were it's the shortest amount of screen time ever. Like, that's what it was. This was a Judi Dench level of amazing for a short period of time.
It was like thrilling and titillating and scary. And it was truly all things. I also just have to point out that we're on a Zoom and Danny's background is one of the sets of a reunion.
Which reunion?
It just looks like you're sitting in the reunion.
Is it a Potomac? Like, I can't tell.
Unclear.
Where.
Unclear. You know what?
Beverly Hills.
I saw a file online and I just hit download. Viruses be damned. I just hit download and it downloaded a bunch of Zoom backgrounds. And so there's, I don't know, all of these Bravo ones, although it is like, I think backwards because there's writing on it and it's showing up backwards on my computer, but that's neither here nor there. The point is,
well, it looks like
one
is not backwards and one is. Where it says Real Housewives, that seems to be regular, and then the Bravo sign is backwards.
Who? You know, we're all doing our best.
I love that someone was like, someone's going to want these backgrounds, and the truth is, someone does want them.
Yes.
And it's you, Danny.
They knew.
I love them.
Okay, we had so much to talk about. Danny, what are your initial just hits? I mean, we got Sutton. Well, we got Garcelle.
Garcelle's great. I will say, okay, maybe this is a little pessimism right off the bat, but I do think that last season we had a similarly exciting premiere, and then the season was not great. So right off the bat, I just want to say that I'm hopeful and I'm excited about what's to come. I think this was one of the best premieres we've ever had on Beverly Hills. Mm. But at the same time, I want to say, like, well, let's see what we got. Because
you don't want to get hurt again, you know?
Right. I've been hurt too many times.
Yeah, I don't want to put your heart out there.
Last year really suffered from Lucy Goosey Apple Juicy. It really brought us down to a level because nobody cared, and it flowed through the whole season. It was a poison apple that
but right off the bat,
bunch.
We've got Kyle and Shahida. We've got Kaftans. You know, we've got Dolce
the
and
worst
Gabbana.
Fashion
we've got
show.
Lisa Rinna do or Lisa Vanderpump in like a ghost voice.
Wait, the Hamlet. That was like a scene from Shakespeare.
That was
like, what the fuck was that?
I was like, we're hearing a ghost voice of Lisa Vanderpump echoing through Dolce and Gabbana's house.
heavy as the head.
I love that the editor like sat down and they manipulated that vocal of Lisa Vanderpump's
put
in that.
That was art. That was like you said, Hamlet.
They did a similar echo in Atlanta too. I think this is something new they're playing with, which is almost like giving the characters like a reference point or like an inner monologue.
Yes.
Or just it's very fun.
Subtext. It's subtext.
And bringing Lisa in, knowing like she doesn't want to be there, feels so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely shady. And also just with the visual against Rinna with the crown on. I mean, it was all so insane, but it was wonderful.
And what do you make of Garcelle?
I love Garcelle. She was doing a lot of vibrator work in her first episode. Like she just kept saying, like, she was bringing the vibrator, and then she was talking about the vibrator. But I love her, and I'm very excited about her. She seems like the type of woman that I would like to be friendly with, mm-hmm. whereas Sutton seems like someone I like to watch on TV, but not necessarily someone I would want to know. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, Garcelle gave us fashion, beauty, class, talent.
Garcelle also gave us some lines when she said, I didn't know if I should pack my white vibrator or my black vibrator, but we were going to New York, so I went with the black one because it's more urban.
Exactly. She's giving
us
humor.
She also gave us Taz, the assistant. T-A-Z.
Oh, love Taz. But
love
what
Taz.
Sutton gave us was a frumpy purple outfit with an old Dolce bra underneath it and some bangs that rivaled Kyle as far as a misplacement on the face. It was tough.
Sutton was wild, and she reminded me of Dana Pam.
Yes.
From like, remember Dana Pam?
Yes, of
she
course.
Reminded me of like a richer version of her. Like, I don't know, she's giving me that energy, maybe a little bit Southern. That first time she did the confessional where she just shaded everyone in the cast and just made fun of everyone's outfits, I was like, oh, she's like very messy. And I feel like it's going to be fun to watch her be messy.
Yeah, because she has not one point, I think, of anything in common with one of them. Like, I don't see even an inch of crossover anywhere. So it's like bringing an alien and just dropping her into the fire.
She felt like she had more in common with a Sonia or a Dorinda, which is like someone who had no talents of their own, married well, is from, you know, from a different time. It felt very New York, new money, opposed to Beverly Hills to me.
I felt like she was a little Dallas too. Like
She
reminded me of, what's the, Cam on
Cam,
Dallas.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it was very Cam.
She also gave me like first season Luann vibes, trying to be like kind of like holier than thou kind of thing, where I think we're going to see her unravel as the mess that she is.
Have you guys been watching?
Oh, go on.
Have you watched any of the old, Bravo's been doing all like the old reruns and marathons of these shows? And it's so fun to go back.
I wish I could. And I saw the clip that you posted of them running and jumping and screaming and yelling to go to Home Goods.
What?
The New York cast.
What?
That was an edit. That was like they were going to Scary Island, but I just put in Home Goods.
Ah!
But yeah. I love a Home Goods. I worship a Home Goods.
I do.
Please know I was an ambassador to Home Goods and I'm obsessed. It's everything.
Oh.
I
miss it. That's what I miss most about this whole pandemic. That's the worst part of this pandemic, aside from the lives lost.
That's right, Danny.
Home Goods is closed.
It's the only store that is in walking distance to me, and I would walk my little ass over there any chance I could get. Beautiful.
Home Goods is the most comforting place on earth. You just walk
the
aisles, you grab a mug at the end. There's 1,000 mugs right when you leave, and then there's like inexplicably Easter candy at the end, and pillows and stationery and Christmas ornaments.
The checkout part is my favorite part of the whole shopping experience because you always find the good. I like the candy orange slices by the counter. Like, I love it all.
Love them. Like those little caramel balls. They just have it all there.
They just have so many pillows with tassels.
So much pillows. They also do a lot of like s'more stuff. So like in their food section, there are a lot of creative s'mores. So there'll be like s'mores on a sucker or s'mores in like on a cracker. Like there's all sorts of different kind of versions of s'mores that they put by the checkout counter.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. It's
if
very
you ever need a gourd at any time of the year, you know where you can get one.
Always get a gourd or a basket.
Yeah.
It's great.
Or you
it's
can great, put a gourd in a basket.
Or like a Le Creusot like pot or I don't know.
I even like to get the olive oils in the pasta.
Oh, yes, of course.
Wow. Wow.
If you ever
I like to get the undies. I like that you can really find like some thongs there lined up, like they're each individually on hangers, and you can really find some
at
good
a Home Goods. Never seen that.
You're just getting thongs at
guys,
Home
Guys, I don't think I ever told you the story, Danielle, and I'm sorry, Danny, to share this, but
I need it.
Okay, one time I dated this guy, and he's like, I want you to wear some trashy lingerie.
Okay.
So I marched my ass over because I had, you know, no money. And again, Home Goods has everything. I marched my ass right over. And I found, like, the trashiest lingerie I could find, which was hard because Home Goods is amazing.
I was going to say, it feels like a Christian store to me, so it's weird.
I know. None of it made sense. Then I was like, I don't know if this is trashy enough, so I like, tried to, like, cut out some crotch area. I tried something. Okay, it was horrible. Like, it was just so embarrassing. And then when I wore it, he was like, I meant that, like, high-end store in Beverly Hills called Trashy Lingerie.
No!
Oh, my God.
And I had, like, my undies hanging by a thread.
I'm picturing it had like word art on it or something because everything at Home Goods says like live, laugh, love on it.
You pray, love, live, laugh, the artist way.
Oh,
happiness project.
No. I mean, look, I can't stand a judgment. Have I gotten most of my sexy lingerie from the Amazon, you know, shipping department? Sure.
Sure.
But I do feel like I see this underwear as like, you know how like when you're trying to make snowflakes and you just put paper together and then cut out pieces? Like, that's what I feel like you did to your
It's
lingerie.
100% what I did. Now, speaking of no snowflake is the same, let's talk about Kyle and Shahida's caftan line.
Those fashions.
Those
fashions, which Kyle was just seeing for the very first time.
Okay. Kyle said, and I quote, I mean, I love animals. I love nature. I love butterflies. And poof, it shows up in my mailbox. We've never seen Kyle this stupid. She looked like an idiot. She's like, I didn't know I had to, like, put looks together or do anything with the models, like, while her daughter just, like, rolled her face in the background with, like, an ice roller.
As a woman that has failed on a small scale in fashion, namely Kyle by Aline, too, she failed to go bigger, to go national, to go to go to New York Fashion Week and think you're going to now have success. This to fall upwards.
With resort wear.
Resort wear. And I felt so bad for Shahida, who designed all these clothes, put them on the racks, and was all ready for this whole fashion show. And then Kyle just came in and was like pulling them off the rack and be like, what's this? No. And it's like she worked all on this line, and now you're just throwing them in the garbage.
And it was now, just everything Kyle took was just a bathrobe. She only sent bathrobes down that aisle.
And then we had Tracy, who was a very sour figure.
Yeah. She was a star.
Yeah. 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 I love Tracy's whole take is like, okay, I've been working since 5 a.m. Okay. So I didn't know your daughters were going to walk, but if they'd like to, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I was like, oh, God damn, Tracy. People that are passive aggressive like that. It makes my blood boil. Like, she works for Kyle. Whatever you want to say, she does seem to work for Kyle. So either do it or don't do it.
Or does she work for Shahida?
Oh.
Well, probably Shahida's in
working
the day-to-day.
Shahida works for Kyle, right?
Yeah, because let's be clear here. Shahida, your fashions aren't great. You know what
you
I
know
mean?
I
like, they're not Shahir nor Shahir.
They're
not Shahir.
Kyle by Shahida is no better than Kyle by Aileen.
Kyle by Aileen by Shahida.
It is
by
not.
Tracy.
By
Tracy.
By
you
Kyle.
Know who I also loved was that messy gay who called Kyle and was like, Tracy's not
yes!
happy with you.
With Tracy's like, keep Kyle away from
me.
He was such a little messy gay. Oh, yeah. I loved him.
Just want to call you and warn you, Tracy's not happy with you. And it was like, he's just stirring the pot, like, give him the diamond. We need him on the show.
Who is he? He was just a voice in the background.
Just a silent soldier in the background.
Now, Kyle's bangs,
look,
you know, they are a mistake.
Now, as Greg Bennett said to us, she did get out in front of them at the beginning of the episode when she said, this was not what I wanted to do. This was for Halloween. I wanted to look like my character. But I still blame her because they're not for her. And
I blame her for adding that bump in the back, that Dusty Springfield-esque kind of Bridget Bardot trying to be like this bump it in the
and
back.
We're at a place in technology, as we know, that you can just apply bangs. It is not hard.
Or even clip-ons.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And what was the reasoning anyway? It was like, oh, as a child in the first Halloween, you had bangs. So, like, you're having bangs again. I love the Halloween movies, but that didn't make any fucking sense. Like, oh, as a seven-year-old in the very first movie, you had bangs. So you must, as an adult character,
yeah, you also
bangs.
Had braids and pigtails. We're not going to put you in those.
It's bizarre.
It's so bizarre to see her with those bangs. It actually made me come to her as like, oh, this is a new character. And this character is dumb.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I've never seen Kyle in such a kind of like intellectually inferior moment. You know, say what you will, but Dorit having to like help her. Mm-hmm. Dorit, I didn't mind this episode.
Me neither.
I liked her too. Never liked Dorit.
I came into Dorit last season. She came new. She came afresh to me where I'm liking her fashion. I'm liking her looks. I'm liking her standing up for herself with Lisa Vanderpump. She really came into her own for me last season when she stood up to Camille. You know, I'm into
her. Did you
her.
See how Dorit talked about you guys on Watch What Happens Live last night?
No. And I didn't see it. I just heard about it. And I just want to say, you know, Danny, I didn't see it. And I'm upset if she's upset because I don't want to throw our dearest Brian Moylan under the bus. But now
no,
we did
Brian.
Not come with that information, you know. But do we fact check? Do no. we care what anyone says? No.
No.
No. We never fact check.
And much like Kyle's bangs, like that's on us.
Yeah.
Right.
And much like Kyle's bangs, we can't erase them. We can just grow from them.
Or you add a bump it.
What I found so interesting about Kyle is her taglines are always like, in Beverly Hills, I'm whatever. And this season, her tagline's not even about her. It's like about everyone else. It's like everyone around me. I don't remember what the wording is, but it's like the first time that her tagline's not about her. And I sort of am feeling like Kyle's just going to be the one who like is kind of like the anchor of the show in a way now that she's the only OG left. But I feel like she's not really going to get in the mix. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't know. I mean, you know who is in the mix, though? Someone so unexpected, but so ready for her is Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Mm. Now,
ooh, I think she's never looked better. I think she looks fantastic.
Gorgeous. Do we never not see her in a bootcut jean, no matter how fancy or unfancy the party is? Of course. Never not seen her in that.
Never not in a bootcut. Someone did send Danielle and I a kind of a funny, funny thing that said it was a picture of Denise and then it just said under it, essential worker.
Essential to the series.
Essential to the series.
Yeah, she is essential.
She's
right
giving
now.
A mean, lot.
She's giving a lot, and she's getting the bitch edit, which I'm here for.
Me too. 100%.
I'm excited for it.
And we cannot forget that she was married to Charlie Sheen. You do not get involved with Charlie Sheen in a marriage situation without being a freak yourself.
And
which
Brandi Glanville is the female Charlie Sheen.
Yes. Yes.
That's so 100% on. And I loved how they were talking about Charlie Sheen, Erica and Teddy. They were like bringing up this lawsuit. And Denise was like, yeah, whatever. He's done worse or said worse about me. Like, she didn't even care.
And then she's like, get me my fucking reposado, you goddamn bitch.
They kept that in. Purposely kept that in.
To see her, because she seems so down to earth and like, I just came from nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see her talking to a waiter that way. It was a shock. Again, as a former waiter for many years, I don't love it, but at the same time, I loved it.
Well, and Brandi has been tweeting like, I used to be a waitress and she was a bitch and you know, you are how you treat people. It's like, she was acting like she was just like a fan watching the show and just like live tweeting.
Brandi
like,
is never not getting enmeshed in these shows.
She's messy.
She's so
messy. And I'm actually very excited for Brandi to come on the show, but I'm a little worried. Like, I mean, like I said at the top, it's like, I hope we're not going to have to wait until the end of the season for all of that stuff to play out, because I kind of feel like we might have to wait.
I can't.
Hopefully
I can't wait. Not now. Not during these times. We need this to happen. We need it to happen soon, because I can't.
Did you notice this episode had like a million scenes? Like, it had way more scenes than particularly a premiere usually does. I actually like thought to myself, I was like, I should go back and watch and like count how many scenes are in this episode, because it was moving at like a rapid rate.
But it felt dense in a nice way that felt like they've got something here.
I hope so.
Because last year, the minute Vanderpump left, it just like crashed and burned. And so that's why I think they took great pains in the last 2 minutes to tell us like, Denise will speak to this. You will not be watching part two of someone just walking off. because they were probably so pissed at Vanderpump for that. And I bet they're going to be even more pissed that Denise has something to show and she's not willing to show it.
But breaking that fourth wall of like, we're on camera. Don't say a thing. We're on camera. Don't say a thing.
And now then screaming, bravo, bravo, bravo. Bravo, bravo.
So good. Goosebumps. I got goosebumps when that happened.
Now, another question that I have for Denise, not that you guys can answer it, is that, like, who cares? She's fucking Brandy. That's not a problem. Like, yeah, whatever. But is it that Aaron didn't know? Is that the secret? Is that the thing?
Hmm. You know, I think it's probably more of like she wanted to control the narrative of how she's like presented on screen. And so now she's not in control of it.
But to get involved with Brandy and think you're going to be in control of anything is...
And think you're going to get out alive.
No. You're not going to get out alive.
Can we talk about how Teddy's still on the show?
Oh, my God.
How is this going to keep happening?
Even her pregnancy reveal was like a snooze.
She's
like, oh, God, I'm not a good public speaker. I'm it's sitting. Like,
yeah, we know. Stop speaking in public.
It's shocking to me. And she seems like a nice person, but I just don't understand
how
she's
on the show.
She doesn't
even seem like a nice person to me. I don't think she seems that nice.
It's just like, oh, watching paint dry. And I texted Casey this, and like, yep. I can't believe we're 3 seasons in with her. And her dad was engaged to Queen icon legend Meg Ryan, and we've never even gotten a Meg Ryan appearance on this show.
She's got the audacity to keep her off the show. The only interesting thing about her.
I know. Guys.
And usually when these housewives are like related to famous people, we always get at least like one scene.
Glimmer.
That's usually the whole reason why they're on the show.
I know. And we got nothing. We've gotten Harry Hamlin up the wazoo.
Harry's making pies on camera.
He's going camping.
With their rat problem. he was fixing those rats at one point.
Oh, he's been in it. In it to win it.
Oh, my God.
God and bless him.
Speaking of Harry, you know, Lisa just is such a learned housewife. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing. I really enjoy her. She is so good at seeming wonderfully on board and supportive of all the women, but also stirring the shit. Like, she's so good.
Yeah. When she said about Erica Jane, like when she went, oh, not about Erica, but when they went back to that sort of like bathing suit strip club in New Jersey.
Shakers.
Thank you. And when, sorry, I just had to like that name had to just wash over me real quick.
Shakers.
When she went to Shakers, when she said, oh, I just can't imagine. What's her daughter's name? Delilah?
Amelia Gray.
I just can't imagine her. It's like, yeah, look, none of us necessarily want to be shaking our assets in a bathing suit.
At Shakers.
But you're there because you need to make fucking money. Your daughters are spoiled, not models that are modeling because you're their mother.
She also had the realization in like real time that she does it for free on her Instagram, and then they showed the clip.
Yeah.
She's like, I mean, I guess I do that. And then it was like you could see in her face like she malfunctioned for a second.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I am Shakers.
She realized she just should be working there, and it was like a fembot and Austin Powers malfunctioning.
I think she came off very rude actually in that scene, and kind of just showed a little like bit of just entitlement that I think. I did appreciate Erica taking us back, because Erica really let me down last season. It was just like, what are you doing? Where are you?
Right.
But this year, I feel like we're getting, you know, Tom as a possible like sub-in lawyer for Denise.
When
we're getting Chicago.
When Tom was like, I'll go with her to that, like,
I was
fell in love with him all over again. Like, I was like, my hero, my lawyer. Like, anyone that is like, I'm going to stand by your side and help you, to me, is I'm automatically... attracted to.
A little birdie told me that Queen Erica is quarantining with
Mikey, of course,
and like a full glam team.
Sure.
And a publicist.
Right.
As I have said, that glam team lives in her closet. They just sit there until she enters, and then they all like spring to life. But they literally live in that
like
house
puppets.
Like puppets. Like they come to life when the lights come on. I believe.
And I feel like they're sketching her quarantine looks for her, like which when she's going to be appearing. Did you guys see NeNe Leakes was doing like an Instagram live? And I love NeNe, but she was like in full hair and makeup. And I was like, how did you like get this full hair and makeup for the quarantine? Maybe she did it herself, but I feel like a lot of these people probably are like begging their hair and makeup people
to come
over.
I'll tell you who's not.
For press.
is Portia. Portia was taking to the streets. Like, she was like, how do I get hair done, makeup done? Like, Portia is lost. And she's like, I don't know. She was like going to go on Watch What Happens Live or do some sort of Instagram Live and was literally like, how do I do this? Like,
and Sonia Morgan, when we did Watch What Happens, wasn't wearing a stitch
of makeup. No, she said
and
she had on like
so much younger than us.
Yeah, she did say she had on like a pancake. That's all she brought with her too.
She looked amazing.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, flawless.
Is there anything else from Beverly Hills? I think, did you guys notice the agency hat? I'm tired of looking at that agency
hat.
That
agency party scared me. Like, to be at a place where, like, just, like, frat boys turn into realtors, no. No, no, no. It just
It was weird, like, when they showed Mauricio and some woman off camera was like, you ready for a shot? And he's like, let's do it.
They really fucked Kyle with that little moment.
Yeah, that's going to come into play later. I feel like if anything were to, not saying that it's going to, but if anything were to ever happen between Mauricio and Kyle, they'd play that clip in a flashback.
No.
My last thought, honestly, is just that the New York Palace is where my father and stepmom got married. So, and I didn't know you could do a drive-by, a drive-up and a drive-through for a pretzel
yeah,
in New York.
That's...
They were so proud about getting those regular Cokes.
Yeah.
Kyle even tweeted about it.
Really? And eating carbs.
They didn't
like, they've
take a
ever
sip.
Eaten a pretzel. Like, they took 3 bites of that pretzel between the two of them. That was
I
not.
Did love that Garcelle was, like, totally fine to shade Kyle on the looks. She was just like, they weren't good, basically. Like,
they weren't.
They're not good.
They were I mean, not.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, Kyle, did you see Kyle was like tweeting at Dorit? Because I feel like the Housewives medium is Twitter. They're just like, that's where we
Dorit
live.
And Dorit and Kyle are going to have a little bit of a feud, I think.
Big time. Because Dorit tried to tweet after it. She was like, Kyle, all the looks were amazing. And Kyle wrote back like, thank you, Dorit. But just so you know, you did not save my show. I had a production team that I paid for.
Yeah, that pink-haired woman that was very angry with you.
Tracy.
Tracy.
Our star. The star of the episode.
Star Tracy. Danny, anything else?
No, you know, I'm very excited. I think we've had, like, an amazing week or two of introductions on these shows. I think between New York with Leah and then on Beverly Hills with Garcelle and even Sutton, I think, like, people aren't always so wonderfully introduced on these shows. And I think that's, we got a good thing going.
We sure do.
To live in this world where New York and Beverly Hills are on at the same time, it's almost, it's an embarrassment of riches that I'm a little worried for like the rest of my year.
And Potomac's coming soon.
Exactly. So it's like, wow. But at the same time, we've never needed it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Andy and Bravo were ready. As opposed to our country.
They've always been a step ahead.
Bravo.
Yeah, they're always a step ahead, and
ready.
They give us what we need
yeah.
when we need it.
Did they cause us to give us these shows?
I'm worried about where we're going with the shows. Like, I think, like, 6 months down the line, like, what's going to happen to us when we don't have new shows?
That's what
like,
I was
that's
saying,
scary.
Danny.
I'm hoping
like, scared
Salt
about
Lake.
The rest of the year. Like, where
Salt.
Am I then?
Salt
and
Lake.
I'm not kidding you. Like, I really do. This sounds dramatic, but I do rely on these shows for my mental health. Like, I need these shows.
Danny, it doesn't sound dramatic. Danielle and I, as have you, have devoted the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And I will say, when I have gone through
selves behind them,
when I've gone through a truly emotional, terrible time in my life, as has happened to all of us at some point, like beyond our control, beyond the pale of what we could expect from life, and I can't even watch TV or read a book, like where I'm just so, the only thing I can stomach are these shows. Like literally, like the only thing that like relaxes me, like it's like a warm bath are these fucking shows. And I don't
I love
know
that
why.
We all call it relaxing when it is literally monsters screaming at each other. But it is like the sounds of the ocean. It's like it just washes over me.
I'm never more at peace than when I hear women yelling at each other. I even love The View, and I watch The View and The Housewives at night. Like, that's my wind-down time. And it's like, that's all I need. I need, like, women with, like, aggressive opinions yelling at me. And then I'm, like, able to sleep at night.
It's a Xanax for, yeah.
Feels
for
real
the
good.
Senses.
They also all give us something different. Like, Beverly Hills is a totally different flavor than New York. Which New York this week, or should we talk about New York?
Yeah, please.
I mean, New York this week was so fun.
So good.
Which do you prefer?
Oh, I love New York's my number one of anything of all time.
Me too.
New York is so good. They're so funny and bananas and full of themselves. Like, and they're so unlikable. And yet, like, Sonia actually is likable, but there's not another likable one in the bunch. And it is a shock, but
not one in the bunch.
But I love them all so dearly.
and fucking nuts. Like, they are nuts.
Nuts. Like, this was one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen.
For Ramona to invite everyone to her house, to give Luann the basement, and then to invite Luann as their big trip to a winery.
I love it. You know, the whole Luann in the basement thing, like, that's like a trope of Housewives that I love the most. Like, I don't necessarily always need, like, the big crazy drama of, like, you know, some of these shows give us some seasons, like Bethany and Carol or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy if it's just Luann sleeping in the basement and she's pissed about it. Like, that's enough to sustain me.
And those moments are what I feel Beverly Hills is missing. The women are almost too smart, I put in quotes. Like, they're ahead of it, where they're either, like, very, very friendly, or they're, like, at a 10 in the other direction. Like, I feel like New York lives in the middle ground a lot, where they'll just be, like, fucking messes.
Well, and also when Beverly Hills is having their fun, like when they're drunk and they're silly, I'm not laughing. I'm sort of like, ugh, so annoying. But when the New York ladies or the Atlanta ladies are having literal fun, I am right there with them laughing as if I'm there. Mm-hmm. It's so strange.
The New York women also don't seem to care as much like how they come across on camera. Yeah. Like, for the most part, I don't think Ramona even thinks twice about like how the audience is viewing her. Or Dorinda or Sonia does not care if she's getting too drunk. Like, Luann used to much more than she does now, but and Tinsley does, I guess, a little bit. But for the most part, I think the New York women, like, they don't care if they come across as unlikable or crazy or drunks or anything.
Because they have no self-reflection of their own. So the camera to them is like, yeah, this is who I am.
Dorinda's been a drunk monster for like 3 seasons. And we love her for it, though.
Yes.
And we love her for it.
Now, one of my favorite parts was them all going around the table to get close to each other at the vineyard, like, to, like, show their insecurities or whatever.
And what was that game?
Ramona's like, we need to be close. Tell us something horrible that happened to you.
Like, in the middle of the day, in the middle of, like, a lunch hour.
So, yes, when they were playing that game of just...
Tell me your tragedy.
Yeah, tell me, be vulnerable and tell me what's going on with you. And Dorinda right off the bat said something like, I cry every day of the month or something.
Morning, noon, and night. And then Leah was like, my parents sent me to a nunnery. And then...
Oh, wait, so I wrote down what Dorinda said. She said, I'm scared every day. Everyone wants me to be the anchor of the boat, but I want to be the boat.
I mean, I've honestly felt that, but It's weird to see her so vulnerable, but she's got such an edge. Even when she's like having lighter moments, she's still got an edge. It's a little scary. Like, this is, I love Dorinda, but it's not the way I like to see Dorinda.
She's also always got like a catchphrase or like a metaphor or something going on. Like, she was talking about the icebergs.
Yeah.
Like, I think when Tinsley was saying like she wants kids, Dorinda's like, you're an iceberg. And at the tip of that iceberg, you're blah, blah, blah. And so she's like always metaphoring.
Yeah.
At all times.
I feel like that iceberg, she didn't come up with that metaphor. It didn't feel natural.
No.
Someone
now,
said it to her.
We had a couple lines that I think were powerful this week. You know, this is before we even get to the party. Okay. When Sonia says, I think this was during this lunch, she said, you know, and then you die and I hope. And what is it, Danielle? Fuck.
You catch some good dick on the way. I mean, the dick's good.
Yeah. Then you
die. She also said something about
to catch some good dick on the way.
And that's honestly true. I've never felt anything more in my soul. She also said something about wearing a onesie and we'll all be babies. It was like just thrown in like her rambling. It was like, what did she just say? Rewound it.
It was wild. And then day turns into night and we get to this creepiest party we've ever had in the history of
okay
Housewives.
But before we get to the party, Ramona points out while they're driving there, this made me scream with laughter, she points out another big house and she goes, you know who lives there? He's the guy who invented the lights on kids' sneakers.
And Dorinda was like, wow.
Yeah, he's like, wow.
I was dying.
Oh wait, and let's not forget that between day and night Ramona snuck in a date. She sneaks in.
She's always sneaking in a date. She's really catching the deck.
In a way, like, for me, a date is the whole day. Like, that is your day. Like, for her, it's like she can fit 2 or 3 in. I mean, the woman has energy that is incomparable.
so much energy. I also like what she said about Leah. She said, look, different outfits belong in different people. And that floral dress does not belong in the Hamptons. It belongs in Nantucket or Atlanta, Georgia.
I will say that Luann is never not in one of those like Laura Ashley floral dresses. And even when she got arrested, remember, she was in that blue one.
She was in the courthouse. You know,
I'll never forget that dress. It's up there with Monica Lewinsky's outfit. Like, yeah, it is iconic.
It's infamous. Yeah. Sure.
And speaking of the courthouse, I love when that other car was in on their way to the house and they were like, oh, we've all been arrested. And then the editors showed the mugshots.
It was
like
amazing. They all looked so good in their mugshots. Yeah. They all looked
well, maybe not Leah. I mean, Leah's mugshot is a little rough, I thought.
Why did Sonia get arrested again?
Unclear.
Oh, wait.
It was just like
Yeah, I don't know what happened with Sonia.
Hi, Sydney.
You can just say hi real quick.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
What are you guys doing?
We're doing our podcast about the house.
Wait, am I on it?
Yes, you're on it.
Yay. Hi, everyone. My name's Cindy Besser. Check out Story Pirates.
Okay.
No episodes. Well, not from, but for me too.
She's plugging.
Love you, fans.
She's a pro. She's a pro and a star.
Oh, my God. She's a pro and a star. Immediately came in, told us her name, and plugged. And then, like, left.
She loves Story Pirates so much.
What is Story Pirates? I mean, how do I get involved in this?
So she...
She sold me. What do I
need
to do to get
Story Pirates?
Yeah,
is she getting something out of this?
No, she gets nothing. She just really likes it, and she tries to plug it all the time.
She's like, hashtag not an ad.
Just like us, started talking about housewives. Yeah. She's passionate about something, so she's
You're
spreading
right,
the good
Danny,
word.
She should have a podcast about Story Pirate. Yeah.
She should. She was, and then it was like, love. What'd she say? Love to all the fans.
Love to all the
to
fans.
To all my fans.
Oh my God, in heaven.
Shock,
she will be a housewife one day.
Oh, God willing. God willing. Or I could be Ramona and she could be my Avery. However it turns out, that's fine. Now, can we talk about the terrifying party?
It was like I saw somebody online tweeted that it felt like a tornado went through that house when all those women left and got through it.
I did like when Leah said it was like an Eyes Wide Shut for old white people.
It was.
I mean, it truly was.
That guy was so gross. I hated that skateboard basement park and the DJ booth that went, like, I hated his house so much.
He was just clearly trying to sell it, right? Like, yeah, that's maybe why he was taking them around to every room.
It was.
Yeah, did they say, I think they said it was on the market, yeah. Did they? Yeah.
Poor Dorinda. I did feel bad for her when she tried to, like, enter into that and he just wasn't having it. And she was like, oh, I have an old Stanford White House, so I appreciate woodwork.
Dorinda also kept saying, like, they don't do this in London. Like, she was just, like, native Londoner. She just kept talking about
it. Well, that's why she was mad, though, I think, because, like, he didn't totally, like, try to bring her in or something. Although it did make me laugh when Ramona was like, you're going to keep me captive in here. He looked so shocked. He goes, what? Do I want to keep you captive? He was like, no.
Watching Ramona flirt is like watching an animal wear clothes. It's so uncomfortable. It so doesn't feel right. It's so just like, oh, this is a wrong feeling. Like, and she does it with such ease to herself, but it looks and feels wrong.
And no shame in front of, like, whoever's around her. Like, she could be surrounded by other people and just fully 100% committing to the flirt.
Also, when she said about Sonia, this made me mad, when she was like, I have to bring myself down for Sonia. I was like, how dare you?
How dare you? Sonia's on such a higher, like, emotional, spiritual, like, kind of zest for life plane than Ramona is.
That made me angry.
Shocking.
You guys, this might be controversial.
Uh-oh.
But I did sort of understand how Ramona was, like, a little bit embarrassed by everyone else. Because they were, like, nuts. Like, Sonia was drunk, so drunk. And so, like, I understood why Ramona was, like, a little bit ashamed of these people because they're all fucking messes.
But at the same time, Ramona's such a goddamn mess. Don't forget that she went to someone's party last year and took whole lobsters home with her in a bag. Like, we're not, like, we can't pretend.
Speaking of, I totally forgot Barb wasn't with us until, like, 2 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. Barb is R.I.P., but, like, nobody cares. Like,
Barb,
I never want to think of her.
She's staining a couch somewhere with her self-tanner.
Or she's staining a piece of wood somewhere, building, or whatever. That's true. You know, she's always She's active.
She's a barb of many trades.
She is a barb of many trades.
I totally hear what you're saying about Ramona. I guess it's just that, like, I have such a love for Sonia that I don't see it clearly. Because, if I just was tuning into this, I'd be like, who the fuck is this drunk woman screaming at the top of her lungs? The party's not shouting. Over. You're over.
She said two mean things, though. Sonia goes about Leah. She goes, she's a beauty, but she looks rough on the edges. Like, that's a tough
She thing. Goes, she's classy, but she doesn't look classy.
And then
Sonia was being mean and crazy, but we love her because she's just so lovable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she was shouting, and I quote, I don't shave my pussy. I'm not arm candy. I don't shave my pussy. She was shouting at this party.
That was a tough quote.
Oh, she was shouting craziest thing. She was like, sit with your rich friend with the diamond bracelet. Like, it was just like,
with the diamond bracelet. I will say.
She said, I have more money in the bank than anyone.
Here's the thing. I think Sonia is so triggered. I felt bad for her, and if I may, I think she just feels so much anger when she bumps up against, like, rich people or people who haven't, you know, have kind of kept their fortune over the years. Mm. And she's made so much of her life. And, like, when she was like, I live in an 1,100 square foot place. And I just think she's had to do such a big adjustment for her life. And obviously she still has a lot, but I do feel there's, like, such a sadness there. And so she has to cover with this kind of disdain for fancy people. And it makes me a bit sad.
Yeah.
I think we can also see Sonia's got a good heart too. So I think that's why we always weren't, no matter what she does or says, it's like it's usually because she's drunk or been drinking too much. But deep down, I truly believe, and I feel that way about Dorinda too, by the way. I think Dorinda's going to have a really rough season, and she's clearly the villain, and she's very aggressive with people and all of that. But I do think those two at least, like, have a good heart. Like, I'm not sold on, like, Ramona's core, you know, but I love watching her.
No, I'm not sold either.
Ramona doesn't have a core. She is liquid in the center.
Like Shannon on Orange County Housewives. I don't have a core!
Guys, let's take a quick break and come back with New York.
Please.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I'm obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
We're back.
I just love New York. Wasn't it just like a boost of serotonin, though, watching this episode? It was just so much fun.
And even
so much fun.
The end, like when it was just showing us scenes from next time and someone shot, like what they do to Ramona's house. And then all we do is a parting shot where someone says, there's a vibrator in the chicken.
I mean, that preview for next week, Emmy worthy. Like, that preview just looks phenomenal.
It's my house. It's my house.
There were just tiki torches just like strewn about.
Leah nude with those tiki torches, like an episode of fucking Survivor. I mean, it was crazy. I can't
Leah. It does really make me laugh that she was like, I won't be drinking at all.
Literally,
and then immediately, and next thing we know,
the
naked.
The second
tiki
episode
torches.
In, she's wait, like, where are what do these women do to people?
I'm feeling thrilled about Leah. Like, I think she's an exciting addition.
Agree.
And I don't think any of us expected it, right? Like, obviously we can't replace Bethany, but it was just, I don't know. I didn't anticipate, like, this woman, Leah, coming in and being such a weird, good fit for these women.
And I didn't hear anything sort of about her beforehand. I feel like a lot of times we'll be sort of hearing about a housewife beforehand, like, ooh, we got a firecracker, or we got this person, or... And Leah came in sort of quietly, like I hadn't heard any, you know, hubbub about her.
Yeah, Leah's a sleeper hit. And I will say, watching her bucket hat, her net bucket hat in flashback, I warmed up to it a little bit.
Really?
You know, I had a week to sit with it. And then seeing it again, it was like, oh, right, there's Leah in that bucket hat.
I felt wow. this no, week I accepted when I got it. This week I felt when we got closer, it felt too small. Mm. Felt it should have been larger.
Mm. Yeah.
Real quickly, before we move on, I was shocked that Sonia just woke up the next day and seemed fine.
Because she is built like a Mack truck. Like, she can take the hits and keep coming.
Like, shocking.
Shocking. And then the best was when Dorinda woke up Ramona and was like, there's a very bad text you need to read. This will upset you terribly.
Such a
loose. I couldn't believe that Ramona just nicely texted back Luann. Like, that was shocking.
That was a shocking text back. That was so on Ramona. That will not
stay. So on Ramona.
It was like I was watching a different show or human. I was like, who is this person?
Is she being side coached to like to just act friendly no matter what happens?
But also, it seems as if they're still at Ramona's house next week. We have been at Ramona's house for 3 weeks now.
I'm liking the Hamptons, guys. The Berkshires for me always feels very sad.
Claustrophobic. Mm. And we're always there in the winter, but we have a summertime here. And that's
yeah, it feels nice.
Yeah, I like when they switch our seasons on us because it's like we'll spend a few seasons where it's Christmas. And I'm happy that we're in the summertime. I like when we see the tennis a little bit.
I'm also
like
glad we're not at tennis. Bethany's Hamptons house. I never liked her Hamptons house with that whole like bar in the back. I'm glad we're at a different Hamptons house.
Also, Luann's text at the end of it, it just said, good night from the lower level.
Good night from the lower
the end of the text.
Level.
Good night from the lower level.
I love
put that on a tea towel and sell it at Home Goods.
They'll be calling, Danny. They'll be calling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've got a great season. I'm so excited for more.
Should we move on to Atlanta?
Just fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you making of Atlanta, Danny?
You know, I was really racking my brain. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I always love Atlanta and I think the season's been good. But the past few weeks, I've been feeling like it's a lot of filler. And what I came to was that I think that Atlanta has been taking a lot of weeks off. So we've been getting like a kind of blah episode and then they take a week off and then another blah episode. And that makes it feel like the whole season's been shitty. And so I'm not sure, but I didn't like this week's episode. I thought it was kind of eh.
Why are they taking so many weeks off? You mean like
for holidays or whatnot?
Like... Well, I think it's holidays. And then I also think, and I could be wrong, maybe someone from Valva knows, but I feel like they did also try to stretch it because they were hopeful that they could do the reunion. And they didn't know exactly like when all this coronavirus, you know, what would be happening with it. So I could be wrong, but I think they might have tried to stretch the weeks a little bit.
Wow. Tried to stretch the weeks, huh?
I have to say, yeah. I mean, I get sad in Atlanta recently with the Candy and Todd stuff. I don't like that sort of mother guilt gives me anxiety just because I feel it. And I don't like how Todd's sort of like, you got to choose your family and stuff. And it's like she said it like through tears, like I'm taking care of so many people right now. Like that's not an option for me. And I felt her pain with that. And then
and Todd should know that. That's who Candy is. Yeah. Todd should be aware of this person. So the fact that he's doing this mom guilt is just really disgusting to me.
Agree.
And it's also like, you want to throw a baby shower with a red carpet and the media here. And then he's like, you know why I'm cheap? It's like, Todd, you have all these big ideas. Many of them have not worked out. Let's just remember that. They cost a lot. And then you make Candy feel bad when she works a lot to like pay for these ideas.
Exactly.
And I feel like Todd does a lot of these things that he needs Candy for or Candy's family, like the OLG or whatever. And then Candy's trying to do a business on her own. Like Candy doesn't need Todd for her role on the Chai.
Mm-mm.
And Todd needs Candy for the trucking company or whatever.
He needs
the,
her for every single
are.
Business. And guess what? You don't need a fucking trucking company. Run your restaurants.
Right. Do the restaurants. And so, like, Candy's trying to do one side project on her own, and then Todd is, like, giving her a hard time, but then he's starting all these other projects where he can't do them without Candy.
No.
100%. And I think also when he was setting all that up, and then Candy in her testimony was like, well, I was worried about it, but I realized Don Juan was there. He'll take care of any mistakes. I was like, Don Juan is the fucking backbone of all of these businesses. It's not Todd.
No, it is Don Juan.
I love Don Juan.
Oh, me too.
I do too.
Because I like
too.
Him because he's a good businessman. He is so tried and true to Candy. Like, he is...
They're partners I trust him in every with, single sense.
I trust him with her life. Yeah. And he also gives great shade. He is hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
So, love him. Now, the stuff with Kenya made me very sad. Kenya and Mark
Daly. A lot of the stuff with Kenya is... It's very sad. Kenya's stuff is sad. And then when she was going through the closet, it felt like weirdly set up to me because there was too. So many tags on those clothes. And I thought, like, did she ship in these clothes to like do the scene? I don't know. It was like, I was overthinking.
I think she bought him a lot of clothes for him to come home to. You know what I mean? Like, I thought she was like, we're going to make home here. I don't know how much he moved in there, but I think she was like, I'm going to buy him these clothes. Like, I think she had a dream and she was shopping for her dream.
What was his excuse for not letting her interact with his family?
I don't know.
He's just an asshole. He's like a controlling asshole. And I think he wants to control Kenya's relation. He wants to just control Kenya, I think, in general, but particularly her relationships with other people. And I think that's why possibly last season he didn't want her to film, or there's been like talk in the past about how he didn't want Kenya on the show and stuff like that. And I think he just wants to control her.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just an asshole.
He was the worst asshole.
I like this Candy Kenya friendship. I'm like, did I miss the thread? When did they become this close? But I like it. And when they're like crying together and Kenya has her hand on Candy's shoe and helping her, I thought this is a nice.
Yeah.
They did not used to feel this way about each other.
No.
It's what happens on these housewife shows, right? After so long where they're just like, okay, we should just be like friends now we haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, let's try this combination.
Right. You know what? I'm going to try
We haven't done that.
I haven't had the duck yet. I'm going to try it, you know?
I have to mention something very important that I'm not sure everyone caught, but you guys noticed on Atlanta, they've been doing a lot of interesting transitional music.
Oh my God, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I said the music, they are really taking it up a notch just for Atlanta.
Wait, do you know how much of a notch they kicked it up?
How much?
Uh-oh.
There was the song, one of the transitional songs was Nene's song.
Her new song?
She's got a new song, which I meant to like look up and listen to before we started doing this. But there's a, Nene came,
Honey. Honey, H-U-N-N-I. But I don't know.
To categorize it, Danny.
So how is this working now? Are they paying Nene for that song? Like, what's
or is it like we will play your song?
Yeah, like I scratch your back, you scratch mine type of deal.
Wow, that is huge. I did not notice that.
I rewound it a few times because I was like, this sounds familiar. You know, when you do the there's been times on these shows where I've rewound it like 10 fucking times to like catch something.
Oh,
and it's like,
yeah.
What are we doing here? Shows are so stupid.
Well, imagine, like, don't we all? We all have this in common. Like, you're watching something that is so dumb, and then you're like frantically taking notes. I'm in school. I'm like, I didn't catch that.
And then rewinding it like 5 times just to watch it over and
so
over again.
So weird. What
and
we're
my
doing.
Boyfriend comes in the room and he's like, what's going on? And I'm going to have to explain, like, Sonia yelling, like, I don't shave my pussy.
Or like, my husband will come like, in and I'm like, shush, shush. Quiet.
Get out.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
And it's like I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these, but if I miss 2 seconds, it's like, are you serious right now? Please.
Because everything happens so fast on these shows. You miss 2 seconds. You miss Nene's first performance of her song as the transition.
Yeah. You miss her as a musician. Second.
You know, speak of Nene, the scariest moment of the entire show was watching Greg Leakes walk up those stairs. I was
Danielle,
so
how dare you?
Nervous.
Greg Leakes is giving me a lot of Ken Todd vibes this season.
Yes!
A lot of lurking.
A lot of silk pajamas.
But like, he is not well. I mean, he's on the mend, but still, to walk up those huge, dense stairs. Like, I was like, this is not okay. And then
that house looks like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, it's so oversized. I feel like everything is like a huge chair that's like 20 feet tall. Like, all the furniture. Like, it's just a Mick mansion.
Yeah.
And Greg doesn't know how a lot of it works. There was one scene earlier this season where the doorbell rang and he's like, what's that? And it was like, the doorbell, Greg. It's your house. Shouldn't you know that?
Greg,
he's like, well, we just showed up this morning for filming, so no, I don't know it.
She has kept him in like a guest bungalow in the back to like recover. And he
somebody posted online, there's like one of those Instagram lives that Nene did where Greg is like behind her and like Nene's moving but Greg's just like sitting still, so he literally looks like he's not with us. His eyes are open, but it's like the scariest thing because Nene's moving and Greg's just like I don't know, not looks like a fucking Weekend at Bernie's behind us.
I found another scary moment with Nene was when we were at Swag and she breezed in and saw in a young employee wearing some just apparel from the shop. And she's like, did you pay for that? She's like, I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
That was
tough. Gotta check on the customers.
That was tough.
We also had Portia and Dennis and their wedding talk, which I thought, I was like, you give this woman anything she wants at this point. How dare you not, like, move in with her? Like, if you wanted her back, you have to come back. Like, it made me so angry.
I love Portia so much, and I just don't like anyone. I don't like the way Dennis is. I want her to move on and just find, like, a guy that treats her well, like the queen that she is. And I just hate even seeing Dennis on screen next to her.
He's such a little nothing, and she's such a queen.
It did make me laugh when she was just taking all those cookies as quick as she could and, like, putting the cookies in the bag, and then she yelled, no cookies for you, you hot dog man.
I love her so much.
I do, too.
Can we talk about two things regarding Cynthia? Number one, she's choosing to stay in Atlanta to be on the show instead of, like, being with her family. Mm-hmm. Like, her family, she even admitted, like, Noelle's in L.A. With Mike.
But seems like she can't come out and just admit that. She's like, I need to be here. It's like
so bizarre.
Yeah, we're watching the reason why. You can
but
say
she
it.
Just reopened. She just opened the Bailey Wine Cellar there, which Mel is running, which is a mistake.
Okay, but the Bailey Wine Center, you know, when you go to like an outdoor concert or like or a concert, you know, and they do those installations where it's like an Instagram installation or like something with a photo booth. That's what the Bailey Wine Center feels like to me. It feels like a concert installation. It doesn't feel like a real. It feels like somebody
like
just,
it's a
it
pop
was a pop-up. Yeah.
Like just a panel they put up with like wood and just one step
and that
and
one
repeat.
Headshot of Cynthia in a frame and then that's it.
I mean, I love how Cynthia sat down with Mel and was like, what's new in your life? Like, how's work going? And then we come to find out Mel is running her business.
Now, Mel's do you think the it's Lord's the same Mel. Space that the Bailey Agency used to be in?
Oh, is the Bailey Agency still around?
I can't imagine that it is, but do you think it's the same location? Like, is she just probably. Renting the same?
Probably. And what happened to Bar 1 or whatever that was? Mm-hmm. Bar 11? What number was it?
I think it
One.
Sunk. It sunk okay. her and Peter, I believe. It.
Yeah, it went under.
Went under.
Bar none. No, Cynthia also said Noelle is not going to school. She's living with Mike, and she's Cynthia said, and I quote, she's going to be an actor in the Salt and Pepper documentary. And I thought, well, if it's documentary, I'm confused. Like, what's Noelle's role?
Mockumentary?
Or like that sort of like like when they sort of do it, like it's their life story or whatever, but it's not played by them. It's like actors
they flash
doing
back.
It. Yeah, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I need to see this.
We need to watch that.
I would watch that. Guess what? I would watch that in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, Eva is my teddy.
Yeah, I don't
She's not
don't
as
get it.
Bad, but she gives me absolutely nothing.
The only time she's fun is when her and Marlo are fighting and Eva gets angry and comes out with some great one-liners, but otherwise... Unless when she
and when was the last time that happened? That only happened like one or two times. So
I feel like
it
happened in Japan and that was it.
The idea that Eva has a peach and Marlo doesn't is just insane to me. Like, Marlo's been giving us everything. And Marlo's finally giving us layers, too. We're seeing, like, that softer side of Marlo. And she was getting emotional, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, I feel
I
like Marlo
understand.
Was just like, fuck it, I'll cry. What can I do here? Even though, no, it was very genuine.
She deserves a peach. She does.
I don't get Eva. I want to like her, too. It's just, I don't know. Even Cynthia, when she showed up at her house, she's like, you need to not be pregnant anymore. And it's like,
yes.
Basically, she was saying you need to get in the mix with us.
Yeah,
I mean,
agree.
I hope everyone knows I would never shame a woman for being pregnant. But I've said it before, I think. I don't love my housewives pregnant. And if they've just given birth, like, you know, I think the ones that are handling it best are like Kenya and Portia. It's like, I don't need to hear too much about it. But I feel like Eva is so always ensconced in this like world at home. And I'm like, please, I want to see my housewives out and about. I have
Eva's
kids.
Always
I
like
live
sitting.
That life. I want wish fulfillment.
Eva's always sitting. I can't have my housewives sitting.
Right.
Yeah, right. She's like,
I don't know if she'll be back. Do you think she'll be back next season?
I
can't
think
imagine.
So. No.
I don't think so either.
No, we're done with her.
She's like Robin from Potomac. Just very tired. Very low vibrations.
I do really love, though, on Potomac when she's always sleepy. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I
like,
love
the
it.
The only time that works is, like, how she's just always, like, taking a nap. Like,
oh,
wake
my
up.
God.
Look alive.
I was on a Zoom today, and I know crazier things have happened on a Zoom, but it was, like, with my son's school and parents. And one of the dads, there was only, like, seven of us. We was just sleeping. I was like, wow. Huh.
We did just a Zoom asleep. Birthday party for one of my daughter's friends today, and it was, we were on for 2 minutes, and it's just six-year-olds staring at each other. I was like, this is so creepy. None of them know what to
say. Zooms are
weird.
The Zooms are weird. I did a bachelorette party. Like, my best friend, we like, threw her a Zoom bachelorette party, but there was, like, way too many people. It was just very sad.
Yeah, you need to do, like, breakout rooms almost for that.
And then trying, like, one of the girls was like, let's play a game. And it was, like, trying to play, like, a bachelorette party game on Zoom. It's just, it's not happening.
No.
It's just not happening.
Your poor friend.
It was a real rough moment in all of our lives.
Guys, should we take another break? And,
yes.
And unless anyone has anything else.
I'm ready to move on to Vanderpump.
And I don't mean to lead us here. I mean, Danny, you
No, I'm
you
ready to
lead
just
us.
Unload on I'm ready to unload on Vanderpump. So let's take a break and then we'll come back and do that. Okay, Vanderpump time.
Yay.
This was a real low point. And I said a couple weeks ago that I thought that funeral for the lizard was a real low point. But to me, this was truly 100%, and I've thought about it a lot over the past few days, the worst episode they've ever produced on this show.
Agree.
I believe.
Agree.
To see this terrible wedding, second wedding, for these two people that should not be married. I don't give a fuck about their wedding for these two hateful people. And all these old men and women who think they're 20 years old still. Like, I just can't with these people anymore.
Every single moment of this felt overproduced. Even
yep.
from the people they invited to this wedding, I was thinking, I don't feel as a viewer I've been led to believe that Max is good friends with these people.
No. I kept writing, why is Max there and not Kristen? At least bring Kristen so I can have some fucking drama.
Right. The fact that they didn't bring Kristen on a cast trip to Vegas is, like, insanity to me.
Insane.
Like, producers should have stepped in and said, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, we need Kristen. I don't care if you guys aren't getting along. Like,
it doesn't
she's the
matter.
One that stirs the pot.
Again, that's the, like, first rule of Housewives. I don't care if you're not getting along. You'll be there. And I feel like Vanderpump feels like they're too good for that. Like, they
and
don't
also, guess
subscribe
what?
To that.
You know who else needs to be there? Sheena Shea.
Sheena Shea. You guys, I've been yelling justice for Sheena this whole season because she... It's truly embarrassing how they treat her on that show, like how they edit her and everything. And then this was a week where she's doing this major egg retrieval surgery. And they literally, like, did not show us any of it. Instead, we got that whole fucking bra subplot with Lisa Vanderpump's
bra. Stupid. It made me,
so
that
fucking
made me
produced.
Angry.
I hated it.
Also,
hated
you know, it.
You know what's produced? This Bo and Stassi engagement bullshit we're going to have to sit through. Oh, my God.
We're
I
also
don't care.
Fucking sick of the weddings. I'm sick Done. Of all the weddings on the show. And the bra thing really, like, made me livid.
Me
because,
too.
First of all, the fact that Caesar's Palace would mix up Lisa Vanderpump's luggage, I'm sure she has beautiful Chanel luggage or whatever, you know, some designer luggage. And I'm sure Schwartz does not.
I'm sure Schwartz is, like, held together with duct tape like mine.
Do you remember on the original Jersey Shore when Angelina didn't have a suitcase? She just had a trash bag.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
It was a great moment in time.
And Lisa is yes, you're continue, Danny. Yep.
Just, yeah, you're right. Lisa is crazy. Like,
I will
like
say,
Lisa and I want to love Lisa, but when she does stunts like this that are so overly produced, it's like, come on.
Also,
she's another,
in it too much.
And also, watching Ken having to use a chair to prop him up was another sad moment. He literally had to lean on a chair and it propped him up.
Well, he's an older man, Danielle.
He's an old man.
But I feel
like you're really knocking.
Rest.
You're like Greg
I'm
trying to get up those
let
stairs.
Let them rest. Let them rest.
Let him go to sleep. Let him not be on camera. But I also sort of feel bad that, like, every season Ken has to sit around while Lisa makes all of these young men flirt with her. And like, that's weird that she's designing this plot where she's leaving the bra in her coworker or her employee. I don't know, like, what exactly you can classify the relationship, but he's a straight man. You're both married. And it's like, you're thinking it's cute to, like, leave your bra. And then also I was, like, kind of thinking when he was opening the suitcase and saw the bra, I was thinking, like, what if he did actually cheat? Because he did cheat in the past.
Yep, me too.
And then, like, what if what if he did cheat and then he admitted and then it like ruined their marriage because Lisa was doing this like funny bit on the show.
And then he was like pretending to be into the bra. And then the worst part was when Max was FaceTiming to just could see the bra. I'm like, this is terrible. Lisa's too involved. You said it last week, Danielle, but she does. She has time on her hands. She's not in Beverly Hills. And so they're using her too much. When they were like, come zip line, Lisa. I was like, guys, Lisa's not going zip lining.
And there she was.
There she was.
Right on that zip line. And then with that phone call and the FaceTime, it just felt so weird. Like, she's like, oh, I got to call him for to see if he bought the liquor for the thing. And then they do it. And she's like, who's in your
bed?
That and
it girl
was like, so none of them are good enough actors to make me believe
it. Max is a piece of wood.
And I don't care about any of the new people. Danica, even though she does have a few restraining orders, like, let's hear more about that. But
let's
at the same time, like, all, what's Dana and the other girl?
Dana's distasteful when she was like, she's got a fat pussy, P-H-A-T. It's a fat pussy. And, like, I say that in a nice way. Like, she's got a fat pussy. I was like, you're disgusting.
That was cringy. Like, cringy. I felt like that was just a bit that just did not work at all.
She's one of those girls that's like, yeah, I'm fucking dirty. Like, yeah, I'm gross. Like, I say it. I go there. It's like, you're disgusting.
No.
I sort of think, like, some of the new people would have worked if we were on two separate shows. But it's like, the way that this is edited or produced or something, and I worship the editors and the producers. Like, they do such a great job. But this season, I don't understand this, like, mix of these new people with the old people and someone like Charlie, who sometimes gives us like an interesting, funny soundbite and seems like she could be good. Or Danica, like you said, you know, there's fun things, but it just isn't working. Like, it's not cohesive. It feels weird that they're even around these other people.
No, yeah, it's like you guys are not friends. It's so boring.
Yeah, this is been Lala's a really not even
like no one's bringing me anything.
Lala and Randall,
just boring.
Brittany said though, when they got to Vegas, they were like, oh, Max, you're part of the crew now. And Brittany's like, we got to get him fucked up. And they're shouting.
I was hopeful that guys, is it just me? I feel like the way Jax was looking at Brittany when they were in their hotel room was like, oh, he's turned.
Wait,
like, he's turning
again?
On her. I think Jax is starting to turn on Brittany. Just this a little is bit. Not... It's like all the fun's over. Jax isn't in the spotlight anymore. And now he's like, wait a minute.
When this baby comes.
Are they pregnant?
No, but they will be.
They will be. Don't you guys feel like Jax is playing the role of like 1999 sitcom dad or husband? Like I said this on my show last week. I feel like he watched a lot of episodes of According to Jim and is like, I'm going to be that guy. Because he's always talking about like mowing the lawn and like barbecuing and like filling that role. But it just feels like he's trying to do it.
Yeah, and she's spending so much money.
You guys, what is going to happen when they are off this show?
I don't know how this show's going to keep going on.
It can't. And so let's give this show...
Does it have a lot of viewers?
Yeah, the ratings are good. They're going down, I think. But the ratings are still pretty good. So we're still going to get, I think, like a few more seasons just because the ratings...
Yeah, we'll probably get like 9 more.
No.
Just like 9 or so more.
Just like 9 or so.
I think that I would find it comforting to go back. I've been trying to go back through the seasons... Because I didn't really, Danielle and I watched it on like a dare as quick as we could over like a 5-day frenzy that was like a hallucination.
Yeah.
I think I would like to go back and really spend some time with the earlier work of art.
The earlier seasons are Shakespearean, like season 2, season 3, like there's no better reality TV. It's crazy. There's like, so it feels like real drama. And especially if you go back and you see how good it was, it just feels so sad to know where we're at now because now it feels very overproduced.
And to feel like Stassi's in just like a nice, normal relationship. Like, that's not what I want to watch.
No, I don't need healthy. Thank you. I don't need healthy people doing healthy things. That's not for me.
Yeah, I don't know where they go from here. It just feels like I can't imagine what they do next season to fix it because it just feels so off the rails. And one of the problems, which I think at an earlier time was a benefit, is that all these people are really the OGs or the people who've been on from the beginning. They're all really friends. And I don't know how you just get rid of like 2 of them or 3 of them because they've all sort of bandied together. And I think that is bad for the show now because I think we do need to get a fresher show, but it's like almost like they're afraid to get rid of people.
Lala and James came in organically.
But how do they get rid of people? We have 19 people, so like how do we get rid of like
We have 19 white people.
Yes.
Right. Where are the gay people? Where are the people of color? It's like, it's
I feel crazy. Like they're in this weird world where they're just like, these are the only people that exist and they all live in the same house in the valley.
They sort of do.
It's a large cast. Like, no TV show should be 18 cast members.
How
or 19.
How much do you think they're 19. Making, like, the Sandoval of it all?
I would imagine the original people are making really good money.
Like what?
But I don't know. Well, I think season one, season two, they were making like 15 grand or something low.
Okay, so they're
the
probably making
season.
Like
for the whole
grand.
Season, they made 50 grand. Or like 15
no, but for the whole season, they made like 15K, I think. I could be, I hope I'm not making that up. Somebody could Google it.
No, I
we're
think
not
that's
fact
right.
checkers here.
No.
It was low.
I'm just
it was
curious,
low.
Are they making like 50? Or are they making 75? Oh, well.
No, I think it's over, well over 100, I think.
An episode?
I would, not an episode. I don't know.
Okay.
I think they're on different contracts. I don't
I'd
know
love to get some numbers. I'd love some numbers.
Yeah,
if
anyone has some
them,
numbers, let us know.
Please.
But I think they are on different contracts now where people aren't appearing in episodes and they're not getting paid for those episodes.
Oh, wow.
So like sometimes we don't see Kristen, you know, whereas I think before they would get paid for the whole season no matter
yeah,
if they're in that.
I know
well,
like, Sheena took a demotion in pay this year.
And
you're
she's
right.
Working
justice
the hardest.
For Sheena. She's doing everything.
And she's the only bridge with the other people.
Yes.
Like she's the only one actually
for
sitting
Sheena
in scenes with,
not
like, Dana
to get
and stuff.
Being to not be paid more than Katie. That's disgusting.
You're right. Sheena's straddling.
I feel so bad for Sheena. I just want everything for her. I
know.
I really feel bad for her.
But
like,
guess what? If she got
show.
Everything, she'd destroy it. She doesn't know yeah. how to handle it. No.
And then that whole thing with like Sheena's doppelganger was weird. And it felt like they were trying to set up the spinoff or something.
Yes, that's
like
what I felt too. I was like, is this a Vegas spinoff? Is this what we're getting right now?
That girl.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And wait, did you guys notice that weird commercial in the middle of the episode that was like, but it wasn't for anything. It was like a fashion website that they were talking about. It was Dana and Danica. And
yes!
They kept saying like fast fashion. Was that like a...
No.
I don't even remember.
I don't think
oh,
so.
Oh, when they were doing those clothing, and she was like, this would be good to wear to a comedy show.
What that Danica thing? Was wearing with that silver chain and those bike shorts, like that trickle-down Kim Kardashian nonsense.
Nope.
Maybe
know.
You're right, Danny. Maybe that was an ad.
It felt like very addy to me. It also didn't even feel like those two like each other. So, like, why are they in a scene
Nobody
together?
Likes each other. I don't feel any real friendship or romance. Like, even Dana with that other chiseled weird guy, like, I don't feel any chemistry there. Like, that's not a real thing.
Danica's a dark figure.
Yeah. She's the only one I have some
When she did the blowing and the breathalyzer thing, that was just like very dark to me. Like that felt like it was supposed to be funny, but I didn't think it just felt like
horrible.
Eerie to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like they were presenting it to us like it was a funny joke, and I was like, this isn't funny.
No, yeah, because when I put the pieces together with Danica of just what we've seen, it's like, hey, we've seen her blow into the breathalyzer. You know, we've seen her just casually say like, you know, Pisces doesn't work with like whatever she said, Aquarius or something. She's like, Pisces doesn't work. I should know. I dated two of them. They both have restraining orders against me. Okay. And then we saw her like slap someone at Sir. So it's like, ooh,
very dark side.
I'd like to
energy.
Hear more.
Yeah. I'd really like to drill
I feel like
down.
The producers are like, we actually can't go there. It's so
like,
dark.
Legally, we can't.
Maybe we need to focus on her next season. Though,
yes,
now
please.
That you're talking about it,
give
like,
us more
like
Danica.
There's more Danica, you know, and she's so distasteful.
The other dark moment of the episode was when Raquel was talking about sex with James.
Oh,
being sober. James's sobriety turns me on. And it was like so felt sad to me.
She's also scared of him because you could say when she was like, I mean, because sex beforehand, I mean, not that he wasn't good before. He's really good. Like, she looked terrified that she had let the cat out of the bag in some weird way.
But then she's so dim that she further said worse. She's like, I shouldn't say. She's like, but sometimes you can't get it up.
It was such journey.
God, it was such a... And that was the same scene where it was like the fat pussy talk. Oh, I was like, what is this scene? Like, what is going on here? Also, they were in Vegas and I'm thinking like, they must have gone out that night and gotten drunk. So like, why didn't we see any of it? I'm sure that they went out and got drunk. So why did we just sort of like, we saw the zip lining stuff. We saw the bra and the suitcase, but then we didn't see any debauchery in Vegas. Like that was so, such a weird choice.
Because I don't think they had any and they had us stuck at the same bar because it was all a big fucking ad for Caesar's Palace and Lisa's business. I'm like,
yeah.
Lisa, we're watching your business. Your show is called Vanderpump Rules. We're here. We don't need to also like hawk your presidential suite and like
that suite stuff,
your new restaurants.
When we had to listen to her talk about what the suite would look like, I was furious. I was mad at Bravo at that point. I was like, what are we doing here? This is
the whole episode. I felt very mad. Like I love this show and it's been so good in the past. And so to have an episode like that, I'm like, this is just, I felt awful. This was the first time I actively wanted to like turn the channel while I was watching. I was like, I'm not even enjoying
it. Yeah, I was bored.
I felt that too.
Guys.
And what are they, how do they fix it? I don't think they fix it. You guys saw that article with Kate Arthur wrote in Variety.
Yes.
It was so spot on. I thought, I don't know.
I'll see you guys. Look. We've said shows are dead before and then they rise like a phoenix from the ashes. And so we didn't know how we'd be without Bethany. And look at us. We have Leah. So
true.
We don't know what's to say, but I will
I'm worried about OC. I'm just like, I feel like it's done personally. I want it to.
And Dallas, I believe, is done. Yes?
Yeah, Dallas and Orange County, I think.
I think when they let go of Vicky, they should have just shut the show down. Like, that was the time to do it. To just say, like, you know what? Our OG, the first show we had. It would be like ending something not on a high, but like... It's like our first show is done and we're actually going to retire it because without Vicky, what do we have? That would have been like classy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like we choose
for these shows.
That would have been classy.
It would have been gorgeous.
But it was also, 13 seasons? You're right. It would have been like, let's go out on a little bit of a high and then not be embarrassing. I don't know.
Our producer Dana is giving us some info. She says Lisa Vanderpump makes $500,000 per season. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. I have some stats for you guys.
Okay, we're ready to hear him.
Yeah, about the salaries of the Vanderpump cast from a very reputable source, aka womenshealthmagazine.com.
Great.
So Lisa Vanderpump, obviously, but, you know, truly still insane. She's paid $500,000.
An episode? Per episode?
Per season.
She's making like friends money.
I was gonna say. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, no. So $500,000 per season, which is still a lot.
A ton of money.
And her and Ken are like listed as EPs on the show, so maybe like that they're getting more for that. But then the other cast members. Jax is the highest paid cast member, and he makes $25,000 per episode.
Then they normally do like 24 a season, I think, with the reunions. Yeah.
And then, let's see. So then following Jax, Stassi and Kristen each take home $15,000 per episode. Who else? Then apparently in some lawsuit, Tom Sandoval was only paid like $1,400 per episode in seasons one and two, but now he's making like $5,000.
What about Sheena Shea?
Yeah, what's Sheena's?
And what about Schwartz? Wait, Tom Sandoval only makes $5,000 an episode?
I feel like he makes more.
Yeah.
He makes more.
Supposedly the lowest paid cast member is Sheena.
How dare they?
Pay how much?
She pays to be on, probably.
She makes $10,000 per episode. And then like Lala, Brittany, and Katie like don't have info on them. But supposedly Sheena makes the least amount.
How dare they?
How dare.
But then, so then they said, how much will new cast members make, talking about Brett and Charlie and Danica and Dana and Max? And then they're just being like,
after we've paid for the lawsuits of their racist tweets.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like list it. But this is all from like January 2020. So it's like relatively fresh.
I'll take even if it was from
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. It's still crazy.
Thank you,
though.
Dana.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Guys, I want to go back to Dorit for 1 second because I'm starting to feel really bad
about what? Upset.
I just don't like upsetting anyone and it's going to like stay with me tonight.
It felt
because I actually like Dorit.
No, Casey, I watched it. It was off the cuff. Like, she didn't seem upset. She just kind of like, yeah, I wouldn't be worried about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
If anyone knows her,
And it was more about Brian, who I love dearly. But
great.
It was more.
Great. Okay, perfect. I love Brian so much.
I think she said something along the lines of, like, somebody went on a podcast and just.
Oh, they mentioned our podcast. Name check.
I know, right?
Podcast. Oh, man. Could have been any podcast. Wow.
Sorry to go back there, guys. That just has been kind of sitting with me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You know, before we wrap up, are you guys watching Summer House yet? I think I heard on the show last week you might dive in.
So I've only seen a couple episodes. What do you got? Just tell everyone so invested.
I just love it. I love it this season. I think everyone should start with season 3. Like, if you've never watched it before, start at 3, I think. If you're not interested in going all the way back, start at 3. And I think this season is fantastic. I think it's better than Vanderpump Rules. Wow. It's one of my favorite shows to watch on Bravo. There's a lot of, like, fringe shows right now. Even Family Karma is really good on
Bravo.
Yeah,
we're getting a lot of people tweeting at us that Family Karma should be our next show.
I love Shaw's.
Yeah, Shaw's is crazy. Shaw's a little too dark for me right now. Mm. Like, the drama
times.
On it with, like, the with the MJ Reza thing, it just feels like a little, bums me out a bit.
For me, it lifts me up. Go on.
I get that. Yep.
What else are you watching, Danny, in general? Like,
I watch everything. You know, I watch a little bit of everything.
Everything
I can't do. Everything. Of course, I just finished Black Monday, so that was just, like, so fresh in my mind. I'm trying to think. A lot of reality. You know, I popped back into Kardashians this season, which I hadn't watched in years.
Oh, I've never left.
I'm sort of enjoying it. Like, I
yeah, it's amazing. It. I've kept up with every last one of them. Every fucking
Miami?
Episode I've been to Miami with them. I've been to New York with them. I've taken every city they've taken. I'm with them. And wow, I mean, if you haven't seen, please get back into this season when Courtney claws Kim's shoulder. They get in a physical fist fight. It's thrilling.
It was great.
I hate Courtney with every bit of my being. She is diametrically opposed to me. She's cold. She's rude. She's negative. She's a victim. Everything about her is what I hate in people. And Chloe, and that's why she and Chloe are having a falling out now. Because Chloe's such a ray of sunshine.
They were addressing.
Sorry, go
on. They were addressing Courtney not going on vacations and, like, talking about filming stuff. And that's what I find most interesting about it this season. And did they do that before? Like, were they talking about behind the scenes?
So last year at the end, Courtney's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to film anymore. And they're like, just go. Like, then go. And so it's the first time they've ever, like, actually talked about the show.
So did she just go?
She didn't go, but she's still pissed that she's there. So they're even more pissed. Now they're like, nobody even likes you. Like, you're the one nobody likes. You keep threatening to go. Fucking go. And, like, you don't work for this family. You don't put in the amount of work. Like, they're just pissed. They're like, basically, like, they're a fucking traveling circus and everybody's got to work.
Everyone's
hoofing.
Everyone's
her whole
hoofing.
Thing is like, I have different priorities from you guys. I want to be with my kids.
Then go. Be with
then
your kids.
Go. But it's clear she's not quite willing to let it up, but she just wants to bitch about it all the time. And that's my least favorite. That's Tracy. You know, that's Tracy from New York. Guys, don't forget Tracy.
What
do you think of the gals?
The Kardashians.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been with them for so long, so I'm kind of just readjusting and trying to figure out who I like, to be honest. I mean, I love watching Kris do anything. Last week, there was that whole thing where Kris was wearing, like, a red wig. And that was a little tough to me because that felt very, like, shticky. And that was the moment where I was like, should I be watching
this? That's when I get done with the Kardashians, when it feels scripted to me, when they're, like, doing hijinks. That's when I get, like, I don't want to watch. And that was my problem. That's why I couldn't really get into it. From the beginning,
and
because it felt
scripted.
I
hear you, Danielle. Believe me, I feel the exact same. But I think they're pulling away from that a little.
I appreciate.
Everyone wants to see us travel. They just want to see, like, our lifestyle, the luxuries. Like,
I do.
I always want to see more Kanye. That's just me personally.
And I like the houses. Like, I'm happy to just look at their houses.
Me too.
You know, I love an Architectural Digest video. And anytime I just can look at where they're living.
Clothes, makeup, all of that. That I want to see. But I just didn't like when... It's
totally.
The same reason I didn't like the bra in the suitcase. Like, I don't like produced hijinks.
Yeah, they were always sending like Scott off with like Corey Gamble, like just pairing Scott with anyone and being like, "You, here's your storyline. Like you're gonna go see a psychic and then pretend it's a dog."
Yeah, I can't. No.
Have you guys ever seen Very Cavallari on the E! Network?
Of course the worst reality I have. Show
ever created. The worst ever.
Terrible, and I could not look away. It's bad.
It's really the worst. But I've seen every episode, and it's the worst.
What? Like, what's
I've never
up with
seen
her?
Something so bad. I don't know. It's very weird. It's. I mean, speaking of hijinks, it's like they do a lot of like animal stuff on the show. I don't know. It's,
I mean, I used to watch The Hills, like every episode of The Hills, like OG type of. So, and before The Hills, Laguna Beach. Like
I loved The Hills. I loved
Laguna. I watched
Laguna.
It all. So like I've gone way back with Very Cavallari.
Is I think Kristen Very a Cavallari good person?
No, she's a terrible person.
I think it's an embarrassing show for the network. Like, I would be embarrassed if I was E. Like, what are... This is, like, an embarrassing production.
But I think they also share with
like, Bravo. We're all set. We're good.
They keep recasting every season. It's a new cast.
Have you seen Married to Millions?
What?
No.
I urge you to check it out.
Where is it at?
Don't know. My sister-in-law got me into it. It's, like, is it amazing? No. But it delivers on that title. And it's exactly what you think it is. Just people who are like, yeah, I'll marry that person. They've got millions. Like, that's the relationships we're seeing and the motivations behind it.
I'm in.
It's right out there in the open. Wow. And you know,
Casey,
go ahead.
I do have a question for you.
Please.
Were you going to say something? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What's going on with the happy endings table read? Are you guys doing like a happy endings thing?
We are absolutely doing it. They're like scheduling it, and we're going to do something very fun.
Oh, so you don't know if you're doing like an old script or a new script. We don't know anything yet.
We're doing something very fun. And then we're going to like chat and take questions and all that. But we're going to read something in the beginning. It's going to be very fun for a charity. So I'm excited.
That's
I
really
need a
cool.
reboot for my own charity of me wanting to watch it. Like a full-on reboot.
The charity of you wanting to watch it. I love it.
Oh, my God. Danny.
Thank you so much for this crossover. This was such a...
Oh, no, thank you.
I do feel like you are now just sitting in that living room, even though it's not real. Like, I have just... My eye has got accustomed to you in this Beverly Hills strange
If you could see the room I'm actually in, it is not as fancy. But I gotta say, you know, the very first time I was on Bitch Sesh, I told Casey this, but I didn't get to tell you, Danielle. I went to your guys' very first live show.
You did.
It was truly a rock concert, and you guys inspired me to start a podcast. And I'm just so, I love you both. I think you're just the most brilliant people in the entire universe. And you make me laugh. And I'm just so.
Danny,
I love
please,
you
thank you for saying that. But I have to say, like, the amount of people that come up to me and they're like, do you follow? Do you listen to Danny Paul Green? I'm like, bitch, yes.
Oh.
Like, you are just a genius, genius person. And you're so funny and you're so sweet. And I think that's, I do think in the medium that the three of us occupy a very strange world in which.
I love it.
We have devoted ourselves to garbage.
I think art.
You have to be sweet to try to pull it off.
And I will say it's nice.
We all gave ourselves shows.
And I also,
we're like, okay.
We all were like, let's dive into this medium. And the fact that we all have an eye for this art says something about us being kindred spirits.
We're like ambulance chasers. We're like, they're doing that. We're going to try to make a buck off them.
Wait, speaking of ambulance chasers, there's this show 911 Lone Star, which I'm also hooked in. It's totally a show for like 60-something women. Like, that's their demographic.
That's perfect for me.
I'm obsessed with it. And you said ambulance, and I'm just thinking of Liv Tyler because
she's the star?
She's a star with Rob Lowe.
Oh, I auditioned for this. Okay.
What? Yes.
I wish you were on it. I wish you were
on it. You know, Brian Safi is on not 911. Yes, he's on original 911. Him and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Also auditioned
I love them
for
both.
That.
I think they're both so wonderfully, like, weirdly good. But Liv Tyler plays an EMT, and she, like, whispers all her lines, and it's just so funny because she'll, like, have to shout something, like, get me the gauze or something, and she'll just be like, get me the gauze.
They're like, Liv,
I have the opposite.
I love her. I'm so obsessed with her.
I do too.
I have the opposite problem as an actress where they're like, when they're like, can you just whisper? And I'm like, got it. Got the note.
The amount of times I look over to see.
I'm, I'm always trying to reach the back of the house, even if the back of the house is not like, you know, like a stage. It's not great.
They're like, we hear you.
I interviewed Fran Drescher on my show this week, and she was telling me, like,
what a
she's
get.
On Indebted with Adam Pally, and she was telling me, like, I if they wanted someone else, they're getting Fran Drescher. I'm going to be Fran Drescher. And she's like, this is who you get. And she's like, if they hire me, like, I'm not going to play an old grandma. I'm going to play, like, a sexy grandma with my voice. And I just thought,
I love
you know,
her.
She knows her.
You hire Fran, you get
butter.
Fran.
Guess what? That's you hire that. Loud Danielle, you get Loud Danielle.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Same thing.
Danny, I hope we were worthy for a crossover with you. This has been so much fun.
Best. No, I love you both. I hope everyone listens to Bitch Sesh and Everything Iconic, and hopefully we get to do this again. And I'd love to, we should do a live thing.
That would be great.
We should.
That would be so fun.
So much fun. This was great. We love you, Danny. Thanks for doing this.
I love you. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And thank you for having us
to Everything Iconic.
And Bitch Sesh.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.